You bet. All right. Good to see you this afternoon. And we'll see. Maybe we'll get you to the nap a little early, all right? Matthew chapter 6. I don't know how many of you every once in a while like to take a dive off into the conspiracy theories every once in a while. Some hate it, and bless you. I'm glad that you don't like it. The problem is sometimes I do enjoy a little secret. You know what? Ooh, what really happened the day Kennedy got shot? Right? That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, the president died. That's what happened there. I did have a college professor, and he said, I was there, and he was. He actually was on a school trip, and he was on the grassy knoll, and he said, there wasn't anybody on the grassy knoll. I was there, okay? So he would always give us a hard time about that. But when we think about conspiracy theories, it's crazy not to think that there might not be something else going on when something happens, right? I promise I am going somewhere. I'm not just rambling, okay? All right? But then at the same time, sometimes we're just a little paranoid. Like, oh, what really happened? I'm not sure. But don't worry. This guy who was, you know, not even born, not there, never saw anything. Don't worry. He knows. He knows. You know, he saw the secret book. You know, and so anyways, it is a little interesting, but sometimes there's a searching for something secret. And it's like, okay, what's the secret here? What's really going on? Let me pull back the curtain and see what's really going on. And what we find in Matthew chapter 6, we know that here is the Sermon on the Mount, but I've titled it Four Secrets. Four secrets to the Christian life. And so it's like, you know, how do we live the Christian life? What is it really about? And I know it's a play on words, but at the same time, I believe here in Matthew chapter 6, we see four secrets to help us to be the right kind of Christians, all right? So let's look at it this afternoon. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read the first verse. We'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read through a few verses here, okay? The Bible says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As we look at this idea today, four secrets to being the Christian that we need to be. The truth of the matter is, I do know our crowd this afternoon, and our desire is to be real Christians. Our society is full of a lot of weird stuff that's under the guise of Christianity. You know how you get going on the reels sometimes? Anybody ever do that on whatever social media platform it might be? But every once in a while, and I saw there was a reel, and I got watching it. And it caught me. And it was some psycho lady who was a prosperity. I don't want to say the word preacher because that's a degradation to the word preacher. But she was scheming just like they do. And it was a mess and all sorts of cultish activities and all sorts of stuff. And you look at that, and I'm just telling you, the world can see right through it. And now, unfortunately, some fall for it, and they get involved in it. But when we think about being a real Christian, that's what we want to be, a real Christian. We want it to show up in our day-to-day life. We don't want it to be some mystical concept of, man, a Christian. Okay, well, we wear the right things, or we go to the right places, or we don't go to the bad places and things of that nature. But I just share with you that I want to be real. Don't you? Have the desire to be real. That Christianity is not my religion, it's my life. That it's not just a foreign concept, but that it's who I really am. And I want to have a walk with the Lord, and I want to be real. And here in this passage, there's kind of the both sides, the real and the not real, right? We like to do a good dogging on the hypocrites, right? We like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? We like those guys because we can really give them the what for, right? And unfortunately, many times, fake Christianity creeps into our lives as well. And so the goal is to be real. And so there's four secrets to being a real Christian here in this passage. And so we just want to look at those this afternoon. Verses 1 through 4, we see this. The secret of being a secret giver. A secret giver. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. As I said, even in the morning service this morning, it's very interesting that sometimes we scheme to get what we think we want. But the truth of the matter is, to get what we really want, it is done differently. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. When we give, the goal is to be a help, to be a blessing. And that's our goal, right? And the Bible, and Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, he literally says this: if you do it so people see you, you don't get what you really wanted. There's no reward for it. You know, it's this. It's be like, well, you know, I give, and it shall be given unto you. That's a Bible principle, right? But the interesting part about it is this, that what we want most is not gotten how we think it would be gotten, right? Man, well, I gave, and man, I want people to know, so that way, you know, it can be a help and a blessing, okay? Well, according to Jesus, the way to be rewarded for giving is by doing it secretly. So we do it secretly, and I'm not saying that people are doing this in wicked, wicked ways to scheme. Okay, but the deal is that ultimately we've received a lot from the Lord. God has given us so much, and we want to be a blessing to others. But the way to be a blessing to others is by doing it secretly. Because what happens is pride creeps in there. And what can start out as something really good and great intentions all of a sudden turns into a big mess because that old nasty P word got in there, pride. And so I think about Bible culture. And it's literally, isn't it interesting in verse number 2? Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Isn't that weird to think about? Literally, all right, I'm gonna try not to blow out Brother Don today like I did earlier, all right? All right. But literally, this is what they're doing. These people are going to synagogue and they're like, all right, bugler, bugle away, because I'm about to do something real good. Isn't that weird? But that's literally what they're doing. Like, here's, you know, what was it? Why am I losing the story all of a sudden? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk, right? So there's somebody who's laying on the side of the street who's asking for alms, right? Alms for the poor, right? A person who's literally, whatever, blind, sick, you know, lame, and they're laying there. And this Pharisee comes up and he's like, all right, boys, I'm about to show you something real. Bugler, hit the music, DJ. I mean, seriously. And then he's like, look at this. All right, everybody watching me. All right, very good. Here you go, good sir, from the kindness of my heart. You're like, these guys are messed up. And they are. But here's the deal, is that the truth of the matter is that we can all get to that point where we're giving to be seen of men. And one of the ways to make sure that we're not allowing Satan to creep into those things and pride in our flesh is to do it secretly. That it's not, oh, look at me. Look what I'm giving, right? The temple worship, a lot of times there in the synagogues, they would talk about it, in our realm of thinking, it would be like, I could have given this in bills, but I'm going to give it in coins because it sounds better. I mean, seriously, you know, $100 in pennies sure looks a lot more awesome than a $100 bill, right? You're like, whoa, here, let me give this, right? Now, the thing is, to be a real Christian, to where it's not to be seen of men, but to just follow and to bless others with what the Lord has blessed us with is this, that we just be a secret giver. Now, again, the interesting part is that the Pharisees are saying, look, I'm going to be rewarded because I'm doing this. And Jesus says, actually, there's no reward. You lost it. You lost all reward. All the reward that you're going to get, you just got it. Right? But what we desire, and what's really, is that we have rewards that last, that are real. And what Jesus says is, they lost it. There's no more reward than that. They got to have the bugle their way for them that one time. But when we do it secretly, he says this, I'll reward you openly. Reward you openly. So it's interesting, the thing that the Pharisees want to be rewarded, they lose. But the ones who do it secretly, they win it. They get the reward because God gives the rewards. And I wrote this down, God is the best rewarder. You know, it talks about a father who gives gifts to his children, and he loves his children, and he wants to give the right kind of gifts to his children, right? And that would be parents in general. you know your kids and you want to give the best gifts to them, but how much more your Heavenly Father, right, who gives the best gifts? And so we see here, just number one, very easily, just be a secret giver. Be a secret giver. Number two is this, secret number two for being a real Christian is be a secret prayer. I don't know that prayer is a real word, but it's the word I chose, okay? Be a secret prayer. Verse number four, that thine alms may be in secret. Okay, and verse number five, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to stand praying in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Be a secret prayer. Now I will say, practically, that doesn't mean that if pastor calls on us to pray, oh, pastor, I can't. I got to pray in secret. Can't pray open. That's not what we're talking about at all. Okay, but I will say that sometimes we pray more publicly than we ever do privately. And can I tell you, that leads to fake Christianity. That leads to fake Christianity. What being a real Christian is that in my private time, I'm seeking to be a Christian in those times when no one's looking, when no one else is around. You know, you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We think about Daniel. We think about those guys. We think about the impact that they're still making on the world today by the testimony of their lives, right? The fact that they stood up for Christ in the midst of a whole group of people who were bowing down to worship the idol, right? And can I just remind you that I believe the reason why Daniel was so strong publicly is because he was spiritually strong privately. You know, there was that time when, of course, he went to his room and he opened up his windows and he prayed, right, three times a day, and he would do that on a regular basis. And then, of course, old King Nebi said, no, you're not going to do that anymore. And he was tricked all into the whole mess. And we know that. But yet at the same time, the Bible says very clearly that when he went to pray after it was declared that this you can't do this anymore, he just continued doing what he was already doing. When nobody else was watching and when nobody else gave two hoots about what he was doing, now he was just doing what he was called to do. So the goal then is that we just be a secret prayer. Yeah, we need to. There's times where we need to lift up our voice and pray in public, and that's very true. There's times for that. But let us just be careful that the only time I pray is not publicly, and I'm also praying privately. And the truth is that our prayers are they're a lot better. I'll suffice it to say it that way. They're a lot better when they're prayers from the heart than prayers of just, let me show you what I know, right? I think somebody called them a thesaurus prayer. You ever heard that? Lord, protect him, watch over him, you know, and just the same, you're using the same word there, bub, all right? Just a different one. But the goal is that we're just praying from the heart. And if we're doing that privately, then it won't be any problem to pray in the right heart and the right attitude publicly, because we're just continuing to do what we always done. It is interesting that people can hear it in our prayers, right? Slang, usually I would probably be applying this to teenagers. And so, you know, the teenagers walk up and they're like, hey, what's up, Doug? How you doing? Keeping it real in the frizzle frazzle, yo? That's a joke, right? Right? Say something like that, and then they're like, hey, why don't you pray? Dear great God, Father above, who bestoweth all blessings upon us. Right? You can see right through it. You see right through it, right? You're like, bro, you just talked like that, and now all of a sudden you're talking like this. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be reverence, but the truth of the matter is people can see that from a mile away that it's fake. They could see it through the hypocrites. They could see it through the Pharisees, the Sadducees, right? So number two is just this, be a secret prayer. Don't pray to sound spiritual. Pray because we are spiritual. Take time to develop that prayer life privately. And now in this, pray because it's fellowship with God. We're just talking to God. And that'll help us. Number three is this. Be a secret faster. Number six, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is giving this, the Sermon on the Mount, he's giving this to people who've seen this. He's saying, you guys, you know these hypocrites? Which ones? We've seen quite a few of them. You know, the hypocrites who, they start being like, oh, I got the shakes. Oh, sorry, I got the shakes. I've been fasting all day for prayer and to grow close to the Lord. Right? He's saying, literally, they're disfiguring their faces. And the interesting part is that everyone sitting there would say, oh, yeah, we've seen them. We see them all the time. Right? We see these fake Christians. We see these fake spiritual people. And what they're doing is that they're trying to make themselves look better. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. When you're fasting about something, now, I understand that there's times that you're asking for collective prayer on a very particular subject or thing. That's very real, and there's no problem with that, right? But what can turn into it is when that pride creeps in, we're like this, well, I'm close to God because I'm fasting right now. Or we'll make ways for it to come up in our conversations, right? I'm just telling you, my flesh does it. My flesh does it, and I think I'm amongst friends, that our flesh will get those things that we're really trying to seek the Lord about, and then we'll creep it in and try to bring it up in conversation. And here's the goal, is that we just don't. I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving, whatever it is, I'm doing it, and it's between me and the Lord. And that's good enough. Remember that God keeps the record books, and he doesn't miss a thing. He doesn't miss a thing. And don't automatically take that to the negative. Take it to the positive, because that's what it is as well. Is that when I'm giving and nobody sees it, God does. When I'm praying and nobody sees that I'm praying about something, hey, listen, God sees. When I'm fasting, whatever it might be, listen, nobody may know, but God does. And what I'm saying is that's where we become a real Christian. When I do what I do for the Lord, because it's real, it's not a show. We don't need more showboats. We need real Christians that'll make a difference. And again, those are three things. Now, again, everybody's favorite point, the last point, right? Is this, be a secret treasure hunter. Be a secret treasure hunter. We see that in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Listen, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, pausing there for about a moment, and I'm just going to just kind of lay it out here. I know I personally struggle with this a little bit in this particular way. That sometimes I just want to be like everybody else. Linda and I have had this conversation. I know I'm my own person. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Great for you. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. And please know that this is just an illustration. Okay? You'll see what I mean. You know, sometimes I drive, my bus route is actually through, I'll be honest with you, it's through a fancy part of town. And I drive through that in my bus every day, and I'm like, man, it would be sweet to live over here. I know it's an appearance. And whatever, everything that goes on that house might not be what you really want. I get it, okay? I get it. But I'm just telling you, I struggle with it. I struggle with it. You see those ranches for sale on Facebook, you know, and it's 600 acres of prime Montana real estate. You know, got a house for 700 people is what it seems like. And it's all yours for a low price of $38 million. I do struggle here. I do struggle. Because you see it, and in our mind, because there is that desire to serve the Lord and that we want to do the right thing. But there is sometimes in our hearts that little bit that's like, well, I'm over here trying to do right, and there's no way I could ever afford that. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying I do, okay? All right? I struggle. I'm like, what would it be like to go right over here to the Chevy dealership? Because all God's children really drive Chevys. Here's the truth of the matter. All God's children drive the cars that are affordable. Okay, all right. But I'm just telling you that what happens is I look at it and I'm like, what would it be like to have a car that's got 6 miles on it? That would be sweet, okay? I'm not saying you struggle with this. I'm saying I do. I struggle with this. That there's just this part of me that it's like, man, that would be sweet to have. And I really do. I try to keep it suppressed. I try to keep it low, but I struggle with it at times that I'm just like, I'm over here trying to do what's right. And sometimes there ain't two nickels to rub together every once in a while. And God has been good to us all, and He's always taken care of us. And never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we struggle with these things. We struggle with these things. And the truth of the matter is this is the battleground for us being real Christians. Real Christians where I'm reminding myself over and over again that my goal should be for treasures in heaven. And if I never get to live in Chara Hills, or if I never get to live at Bell Knob Golf Course, that's not what it's about. And all those people who live there are not necessarily wicked, okay? The Lord's blessed them in different ways. Praise the Lord. But my goal is this, that my mentality is not just outwardly, I'm like, yeah, them wicked sinners are, you know, lay up treasures from heaven. No, that I want to be that in real life. In real life. That I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help my mind to be focused on the right things. And it finishes, verse 21, the part that we're going to go over today, finishes, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the truth of the matter is, all of these things, as I said today, it's a heart deal. It's a heart problem. Or it's an issue of the heart. My heart should be with the Lord. So that's where I need my treasure to be. Because my heart follows my treasure. And Jesus himself said it, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the truth of the matter is, I'm looking at a group of people this afternoon who I truly believe in our heart of hearts. We want our treasure to be in heaven. Our desire is that our heart is real for Christ. And that's our desire. So here's the four secrets to doing that. Be a secret giver. Be a secret prayer. Be a secret faster. Be a secret treasure hunter. Because at the end of the day, what we want most will come only when we do it secretly. And that is rewards from heaven. You know, sometimes there can be two ditches, right? There can be the ditch that says, oh, it's wicked and terrible for us to try to do things to receive rewards for. Then there's the ditch on the other side that says, everything you do, do it for a reward, right? Now, the truth of the matter will come when we do it for the Lord. I give for the Lord. I pray to and for the Lord. I fast for the Lord. I seek those treasures for in heaven for the Lord. And when we have that attitude, it'll keep us right in the middle of the road. Just doing what God would have us to do. And so, when we think about the Christian life, you know four secrets to the Christian life. Brother Mark should write a book. Four secrets to the Christian life. Well, the truth of the matter is God already wrote the book. He already wrote it. But these are things that will help us to be a real Christian. Let me finish with this. You ever get them fake Oreos? What we talked about in Sunday school, right? Them great value Oreos. They don't hit the same. You know, somebody's like, hey, we had a neighbor across the street, and she was super kind, super kind. It was when I was a kid, and Miss Price was her name, and she was a lovely lady, but she'd try and get you. She'd sneak one on you. She'd be like, would you like some Oreos? Oh, well, amen. Yes, the Lord provides in mysterious ways, right? Man, I'm going to have an Oreo, yes. And you get there, she gotcha. That's not no Oreo. I'm just telling you, it's not the same. It might be close every once in a while, but it's not the same. It's not the same. And the goal of our life should not be that we look like a Christian, but that we are. Not that it looks like an Oreo, but it's a real Oreo. I know that's silly. But our goal should be to be real Christians. Because when we seek to be a real Christian, there's a lot of private work that goes into that. A lot of work that nobody else sees. But the Lord sees. And He knows. He keeps the record books. He's not going to let it. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so our goal should be not, I want everybody to see, but our goal should be, Lord, if You're the only one who ever sees, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. And He promised. He's the one in the Scripture who said, you do it privately, I'll reward you openly. That's a great, wonderful promise from God. So our goal should be to be real Christians. Lord, we thank You so much for Your many blessings to us. And God, I pray that You'd help us. God, help us to be real. God, the truth is we know.